With us today is Karen L. Dalton, who is our beloved former executive director of the Canadian Public Relations Society. Karen knows everybody, and everybody knows Karen in the PR profession in Canada. And it is an honor to have you here for this Yoakum interview, the Jack Yoakum PR profile collection, which I guess is going into phase three now. This will also result in a written piece and hopefully an audio piece that will be made public. But video, once again, we will keep private because you're so nervous about it. Oh, my God. Anyway, it's an honor to have you here, Karen. I'm just going to do a bit of a top up here. Karen was our executive director for 17 years up until a few years ago. The longest running executive director in CPRS history.
That's correct.
It is not an easy job, to say the least. Karen received her APR in 1991. She received her CAE in 2013, which is put out by the Canadian Society of Association Executives. She was made an honorary fellow in 2016. Mm-hmm. And received the Lamp of Service, one of CPRS's top awards, in 2020. So you began in PR in 1982, correct?
That's correct.
With yep. Sun Life. Do you want to say just a little bit about that experience?
Absolutely. So I have a journalism degree from the University of Western Ontario. Started magazine publishing was my journalism career for 6 years. And joined Sun Life to work with their corporate communications.
You told many of my students over the years how that came about, how you got that job.
Well, I'll tell you a little story. Yes, I had read an article in Saturday Night Magazine, which doesn't exist anymore, sort of a precursor to Walrus. And Sun Life chairman and president were profiled. And they were holding a scale model of the Sun Life Center, which is the corner of King and University. They've since moved, but they opened that head office, international corporate office. And I decided I wanted to work for them. And so I found contact and had an interview and started in 1982.
If you look back over the years, you have come up with five of your crowning achievements for CPRS. and there's many more. I mean, just keeping the society together is one, but nonetheless, we'll just quickly list them and then you can say a little bit about each. So the governance restructuring, which you began in 2003 with help of senior members, Grace Diffie and others. Then the career file, which has been a consistent revenue generator for the society. The pathways to the profession, which became a fundamental blueprint for the government of Ontario's, I guess,
curriculum standards.
And this also led to the PRK, which hopefully will continue on. And then there was the World PR Forum that was quite extraordinary, and that whole development with Global Alliance. So that's actually four. I guess I thought I had five written down here. So first of all, tell us about the governance restructuring when you came into CPRS.
Yes, CPRS had developed a governance model for their board that each of the local societies had representation on the national board. And then there were six elected officers for the society. And almost immediately realized that a 23 member board was a little bit hard to manage, and many of the priorities were not of a national focus. So really with assistance of some dedicated CPRS senior members, we undertook a very rigorous governance review and came up with a model for 12 elected national directors, no local society representation, to really move the society into a nationally focused organization.
The career file has generated up to six figures a year for the society.
Correct.
That was one of your babies.
Yes. So one of the things of running an organization is you need to diversify your revenue stream, membership dues, is only a small portion of revenues, and so non-dues revenues was really key to this, to maintain the success of the organization. And job postings was something that was just starting to be online, and we developed an online automated system for organizations to post their public relations jobs. And in 2008, we did it as a pilot. It was so successful instantly and has continued even through all of the competition from, you know, the likes of LinkedIn and Monster Job and all others, and CPRS, the integrity of that website and the candidates that organizations get through that has stood the test of time, and it still is a significant source of non-dues revenue for the organization since then.
Pathways to the profession.
Yes, once again, this a significant contribution by educators from across the country who felt that the educational standards within public relations programs were not what they should be, and that CPRS should take a lead in establishing curriculum standards that were national. So, you know, education is a provincially regulated. However, setting out a curriculum standard that could be applied nationally and, in fact, internationally. A number of organizations, including the Public Relations Society of America, adopted the framework that was established. And it was with a lot of support from volunteers, but we certainly got board support for the funding for an initiative that really generated no revenue for CPRS, but was the right thing to make available to the educational community. And pleased to say that the Ontario government adopted the framework for review of the PR program criteria just several years ago, and which was validation of the work that was done on that document.
And then the PRK came out of that, the PRK exam, which graduating PR students can write. Yes. That exam to start them on their pathway to the APR, ostensibly 5 years later.
Yes.
Which is brilliant. Then finally, there was the World PR Forum.
Yes.
I attended that. That was quite something. With Global Alliance, but that it was the culmination of a deepening relationship with Global Alliance that you began.
Yeah, so Global Alliance was established in the year 2000. It was a virtual organization of national public relations organizations around the world with about 65 countries represented. Now, I think within the Global Alliance framework. And every 2 years, they hosted a World Public Relations Forum. And I was very pleased to put a bid in for CPRS to host in 2016, the World PR Forum in Toronto. It was a very successful event. And it took many years of working with the Global Alliance boards and the CPRS board to really develop that relationship and trust that we would be able to host such an event, and very pleased that we were able to do that and to kind of put CPRS on the map.
You look back all the years, long career beginning in 1982. What was your worst moment? We've talked about some of your best accomplishments. What was your worst moment?
I don't know that I can really pinpoint any terrible moment. I always find a way to find a solution, look for the silver lining, as it were. And I think that any situation can be a learning experience. And I don't think I had any worst moments.
Okay, so Strat Comms Planning. Strategic communications planning. It's a big hot button right now. Several mid to senior level practitioners are finding that staff just don't, even recent graduates do not have enough mm-hmm. of this. But has it changed really all that much over these years?
I don't believe it has. I think the principles of public relations, have remained the same. Practice within the public interest, truthfully, honestly. You have to understand the organization's business objectives to be effective in public relations. You are trying to help your organization achieve its goals through a public relations campaigns, programs, and it has to be strategic. And strategic communications is based on really understanding your organizational objectives and then developing those communication strategies to help that entity achieve its goals.
Okay. Well, the cat has joined us. So as long as he's quiet, he can stay there. Tools have changed. Technology has changed, obviously. But everything behind it hasn't. So we won't even get into this section, practice by practice, what has changed. Although, of course, social media has been added to the PR wheel, mm-hmm. as far as I'm concerned. Internal communications is much more of its own entity. Mm-hmm. And so that's perhaps a stronger spoke in the wheel, but it's always been there. Mm-hmm. So we'll just really skip that question. But I guess the next really good one would be question per our UOCM questionnaire that you developed how many years ago, God knows. How has PR practice changed since you've been around?
I would say the biggest impact on public relations is education. When I started in 1982, there were no public relations programs in Ontario, certainly none in Toronto. CPRS offered a program through UFT, the Continuing Education, developed by Ruth Hammond. Wow. And her curriculum. And it was that course that I took. And it was the fundamentals of public relations, but from a practitioner's point of view.
I interviewed Ruth for a yoga.
Yes, yes. And I think, that gave me, the practical but also strategic approach to communications, the grounding that I had through that program. But in the 40 years since, there's been so many fantastic public relations programs that came along behind Mount St. Vincent in Halifax. And now nearly every community college and university has a form of a public relations program, 1 year, 2 year, 3 year degree programs. And I think that foundation of education theory, led by practitioners, many of them CPRS members, many of the educators in the full-time programs across Canada are longtime APRs, fellows of CPRS.
It's amazing how many fellows teach one class a semester or a full load. It's absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
And thank goodness in Ontario, at least we can do it till we're 75. So that's hopefully great. Many of us will keep going.
There you go.
Now, where do you see the profession heading?
I think it's more important than ever, in my view, with the decline in traditional journalism, the fact checkers, the holding you to a standard of truth and honesty, again, with that public interest of which journalists, that's their reason to be is to provide, two sides of the story or another side of the story. And I think it is imperative for organizations that the public relations people continue to be the conscience for their organization and make sure that when they are communicating, it is in with truth, with honesty, transparency, and with public interest always at the forefront?
I'm asked constantly by the youngsters, particularly coming in, these BPRs or a version thereof, about licensing. That since PR is so integral to the public trust, without in many ways the decline of the gatekeeper and the sober second thought of journalism in many ways, really there are communication senators in a sense, that we should be licensed to ensure that we do, or at least have royal charter as they do in the UK, the CIPR has royal charter, which means the Queen could cut your head off if you're a bad PR person, but no, I'm just kidding. Originally, that's what royal charter was about. So now, should we be royal chartered here in Canada at least? We have an equivalency with CIPR, where if you practice PR in the UK and your APR is accepted at face value by the CIPR, and then you gain royal charter in the UK, and there is a movement afoot maybe to transfer that here as well to Canada at least, and perhaps Australia, perhaps New Zealand. I don't even know if they have APRs in Australia. They have an equivalency. But what do you think of this? Is this necessary, or have we been on the right track in our 70-year history?
Mm-hmm. Licensing, to me, is about regulation. And when you're licensed, as you know and have noted, we've even noted it in some of our previous ad campaigns about, you know, engineers have a PEng and, you know, doctors have a degree and are regulated, and other professions, you know, you get an LLB or...
I seem to recall writing that.
You did.
Yes.
You did. And APR is our equivalent of a designation that symbolizes for an employer and for the public that you have achieved a certain standard and that you have the credentials, you know, to practice at a very high level. And regulation doesn't guarantee, you know, perfection. We know recent law exam scandal, selling the questions. So lawyers couldn't even write their exams a couple of months ago in Ontario. So I don't believe that regulation is the answer. I think it adds a layer of cost, adds a layer of enforcement. And I believe that a voluntary program is equally as effective in ensuring that people who practice public relations do so in an ethically and honest manner.
Final question. We do have, I think it was your estimate, in Toronto alone, in the hyper Greater Toronto area, or Hamilton, Greater Toronto area, well, basically from St.
Golden
Catharines
Horseshoe.
To,
oh,
yeah, Golden oh. Horseshoe is one term, but it doesn't include Barrie, really.
Oh, I right? see. We're going north.
I'm saying St. Catharines to Barrie to Ajax. We're graduating about 400 students a year from some form of PR program.
That's true.
That's an awful lot of people. And it's actually, in my opinion, changed the agency landscape where... you can go, mid-sized companies can now get themselves a well-prepared graduate who can work under the director of marketing, but also perhaps get an agency help. But anyway, that's a long question. What advice would you give to a young person entering PR now? What's the key thing you could pass on?
Mm-hmm. Well, same as I've been saying for as long as I've been in this job, and I've also lectured at lots of the programs across Ontario, and it's about communication. So you can know the theory, you can have achieved high marks in the program, but you have to be able to communicate. You have to be able to listen, understand what it is you're being asked to do, and find a way to communicate that for your organization. And as I mentioned off the top, you know, to be a good public relations person, you need to be strategic. You can't just be tactical, you know. And we talk, you know, we're saying about, has media relations changed, or has internal comms changed, or, you know, has corporate communication changed, and crisis communications, all those elements. All of those still require an understanding of what the organization is trying to achieve and how best you can communicate to get that behavioral change, to get the results the organization is striving for. And you have to be able to communicate. So I would say that to the graduates, understand what it is you're being asked to do, and make sure that you find a way to communicate with your, within your organization, and then of course with your stakeholders.
And as we constantly say, strategy first, tactics second. It's so easy just to go right to tactics. No. And I guess that's another level that I think many of us are getting to in the education realm, is to help students understand that. I know our Humber mm-hmm. students for sure do. Mm-hmm. No, fantastic. Well, Karen Dalton, so you're an honors bachelor of journalism, right? From yes. Western. Mm-hmm. So you're an HBA.
Yes.
You are an APR. You are a CAE, and you're an honorary fellow of the Canadian Public Relations Society, and our executive director of 17 years, which is and probably will remain the record. You've done so much for us, both bringing CPRS into the modern age as an association, all these accomplishments. But it has to be said, the most emotionally intelligent woman I've ever worked with.
Thank you.
And it's been a pleasure being your friend.
Thank you, Mark.
Now, if you heard some purring in the background, that's not me. That's Simba, who joined us during this recording. And finally, I'd like to give a shout out to Mikhail Grisham, who has edited this podcast. Thank you, Mikhail. You're a wonderful student, and you're a very good editor of audio. So off we go. This is the Yoakum podcast series, and it's with Karen Dalton.
Thank you, Mark.